Yeah, we're fucking back, dude.
Yeah, we're actually back.
Yeah, we're actually back. Like, it feels like
you're back. Well, you're back,
dude. Yeah, I did. I'm back. Mm-hmm. I'm back from the.
Not that you ever left.
No, but some knowledge might have. Mm. Why did they call them wisdom teeth?
A little leakage leaked out, dude. The Mercola, that Mercola thing that taps in there might have left, dude. You know, I know he's all about those fucking dentures and shit and those.
Yeah. Anyways, guys, let's get out to the polls. Vote by mail. Let's save democracy this November, guys.
Or Slover Fat implores you to
exactly. Very, very strange. Yeah.
From the 5 to the 6, we be in the mix with that rare candy paint job on a whip. I need food for the kids, money for the rent. Fuck a lockdown, baby, I can't do that shit. And I don't ever vote, cause I'm fucking broke. And either way, I know the police ain't gonna leave me alone. On a plane by the visit, Glenn Rockney. Crypto told me I should bring the Glock with me. So I packed up my piece and I'm sliding. Cause we might get caught up in a riot. Middle finger Trump, middle finger Biden. Fuck a left, fuck a right, is you riding? Boy, you love to see it, dudes rocking. Ain't no politics, baby, we just talking. From the birds to the bricks, we be in the mix. With that rare candy paint job on the whip, who you with?
But yeah, it's cool because, you know, I kind of tend to think that a huge enemy we have right now is free speech. I don't know if you saw the new NPR executive lady. She's really, really, she's really good at identifying our enemy, which has just always been free speech and freedom of information and even the truth. So her name's Catherine Bill Maher is like her last name.
Yeah.
She does it that when I looked at her and what she was saying, I was just like, this is a composite person. This is a composite person of the times. This is a person that they've deployed on us. And half of the country is supposed to just be like, she seems nice anyways. And then the weirdos like us are supposed to go like, we're supposed to feel more schizo. Like it's supposed to trigger us a little bit because it's like her name, right? Mar. We're going to give her the Bill Maher type name. That's meant to trigger me because Bill Maher makes me really annoyed. Yeah. But then also at the same time, her name's Catherine. And I feel like when they were deploying her, they wanted to do Karen. And there was a guy who was like, that's too on
a little
the nose.
On the nose.
Yeah.
It's like, she might have been Karen. Yeah. And then the Karen thing happened. And then they had to add a little TH.
The guy in the NPR PSYOP office, he like sweeps off the stuff all over the table. And he goes, I thought we used to do this artfully. When we deployed these people. You want to put Karen, a white woman, out there? Come on, guys. We got to go almost Karen. We got to go.
I just need my main thing. I need her top 5 tiny desks, dude. Like, let's go. What are we waiting for, dude? Top 5.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
My cleft gene is on there.
Why?
It'll be like one of those random, like, Mexican mariachi bands they put on there, you know.
It'll be like Los Lonely Boys, she'll try to like be diverse and not pick her actual top 5. It'll be curated to like a POC person that doesn't listen to NPR and doesn't know what NPR is.
Dude,
and
it's so funny. Yeah. My mom, I love her, dude, not to throw her under the bus on this one, but she lives in like fucking Hicktown, Oregon, right? Yeah, it's hilarious. It's fucking rocks, dude. It's like, I do love it out there. And she's always blaring these tiny desks and she's always like talking shit about her neighbors and how they're like MAGA. I'm like, you live in like a railroad town in Oregon, dude. Like, what do you expect, dude? You know?
Yeah.
And then she's just blaring these tiny desks and she loves is it Wyclef Jean or the other Fugees guy? Anyway, they both, I never fucked with the Fugees.
Who, like, Praz?
I don't know. Maybe it is Wyclef.
Well, Wyclef would be the more
tiny
desk guy for sure.
Yeah. And dude, it sucks. Like, I'm sorry. I can just not. And she's like, isn't this good? I'm like, yeah, it's all right. And then she'll look at me and she'll be like, and she'll like look out the window towards the neighbors and she'll be like, all I do is play black people music in here. And like, it's like, that's some kind of,
what if her neighbors really were like, we got to kill this woman.
I know, dude. I'm
like, she plays way too many black people songs in her
house. I know.
It's almost hella nice, dude.
It's funny.
Yeah, I know. They're probably just like, they're like, yeah, you know, we were nice to her face. Like we pretend, but it's like, we want her to know that black shit stops here. This is Railroad Oregon Town, in case you didn't realize. We don't play any of that stuff.
Anyway, I derailed you from Catherine.
No, Catherine Maher. I mean, it's I love the like journalist class of people where it's like, because wasn't it like the old represent, I don't even know what the job is. It's like, of course NPR would have a fake job, like, for somebody, like, and so
how is this a scandal? Like, how is this? I get that it's
well, I love the guy that, because I guess the guy before was let go because he was like, he noticed a liberal bias or something.
He called it he was the one who's like, yo, this boss is psycho, like, I'm not about this shit, you know. Exactly, the liberal,
can you imagine,
bias.
Like the person, the, so he's like a whistleblower, right? And like you can imagine the person, the journalist that he's talking to is like, we can't say this over the phone, please meet me at a Denny's, like, you we have to drop this bomb somewhere. And the guy's like, yeah, and then he's got like the newspaper and like the Ernest hat on and stuff, and he's like, I think I'm working for a leftist company.
Yeah, no, this is the biggest scandal that
he's like. Where do you work? He's like, NPR. And he's like, no shit, dude. He's like, he goes, just leave the pot of coffee on the table. We're gonna be here a while. To the waitress,
you got the catcher's mitt to the face, you know. Yeah, fucking dude, just like
no one. He's like, this guy's like, he's like, and then it's he's doing the thing. He goes, you understand what you're telling me right now? Your life's never gonna be the same, right? And he's like, I know. Yeah,
dude, it's my main exposure to NPR over the last couple years has been my last job driving the work van. And the other dudes would all listen to NPR, you know, like late 20s, early 30s males for some reason would love NPR for some reason.
And they do.
And I'm just, dude, like, it's insane. I mean, I don't know, even when you're enmeshed in that world, I don't know how you could not see, not even the bias, but just the pure, like, the guiding, they're just guiding you to these narratives. And it's so insane. You listen for a couple minutes, you're like, what is this shit? It's crazy, dude. Yeah.
Why? If you ever notice too, those guys that are like in their like late 30s, maybe early 40s that listen to NPR, they kind of become like conscious that you don't fuck with what they're listening to slightly. And they always go, they're always like, yeah, dude, NPR used to be like super crazy. I'm like, yeah, but you're still listening to it.
And no, they love saying they don't like it. Or that it's not cool, and then but then they listen to it nonstop. They love it, dude. Yeah,
that's how I am with like Bill Simmons and stuff. So I get it in a sense. Yeah. Like Bill Simmons is just like completely jumped the shark years and years ago. But I still like whenever something happens, I'm like, I have to go listen to Bill Simmons' take about it. And it's I get that, but this is like politics and stuff. And again, it's like it's just so funny, man. Like the way these people do it. But you know, again, that's the establishment Democrat. We're gonna get you right back to the episode, but I just wanted to let you guys know of a few other things we offer at Rare Candy Industries. We have a Substack with free and paid subscription options. Free subscribers get access to all written content. That includes Bob's Red Pill. That's the best thing going on the internet right now. Trust me. Paid subscribers get full access to our premium episode feed. And that's just every episode we don't necessarily want to share with the general public, if you know what I'm saying. Again, that's rarecandy.substack.com. We also have merch. That link's a little long for me to say right now, but go to the description, go to our merch store, and find a shirt that's right for you. We have Rare Candy shirts, Dr. Bronner soap label shirts, Rishi mushroom shirts, all types of stuff there. Check it out. There's got to be something for you. And lastly, check us out on social media. On Instagram, we're Rare Candy Pod, but on Twitter, we're at Rare Candy Pod 1. All right, enough of that. Let's get you back into the episode. On the other side, the people who are trying to buck that trend, the socialist thinkers group.
They say Daily Wire, dude.
No, not there. Other end. Because you have to realize when you're a leftist, both parties, they're right wing, man. Yeah. They're really both the same, even though I'm going to vote for one.
The guy down the hall, like, you're over here, and now you're over here. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Going into the slaughterhouse, dude. But then, I don't know. I think the leftist, communist, socialist people, they're doing a really good job of figuring out whether you have the right to own a PS5 ethically. So this is a guy named Richard Wolff. He was a professor of economics, and he was like kind of a leftist staple. I completely forgot about the Wolf dog, dude. I completely forgot about him.
I used to listen,
he would say some like smart things, and then like after a while you're just like, oh, you're a communist, like you're just like, oh, or whatever. I don't even, are you like, I don't, just are you just pointing out?
I honestly like that when he was arguing with he had that debate with the Whole Foods guy.
Oh, that's right.
And the Whole Foods guy is kind of like, he's like, we're not a monopoly. And he's like, dude, you just sold your company to a monopoly. You know, and it's like, that's not, you can't just
that. You know? I know. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then half the way through the Whole Foods thing, I was like, why am I talking to this fucking professor? what am I gaining from talking to Richard fucking Wolf, dude?
I just made $400 million dollars, and I'm talking to Richard Wolf. Yeah,
I thought this was the Wolf of Wall Street that I was talking to. I thought this was Jordan Belfort.
Yeah. Jordan Belfort.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And,
But this was Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. I thought it was.
We were talking about climate change.
Yeah, I love that movie, so I thought that's why we were here. Yeah, but I'm talking about fucking communists.
It's an ambush, dude.
He's talking to an old communist. Yeah, literally the opposite. But anyways, can you ethically own a PS5 under socialism? Here we go.
Question to you, Professor Wolf. Under your system of worker cooperatives, would I still get my PlayStation?
First off, if you're not watching this right now, it is in like the total like Hassan Piker like stream, like autism, like turn you into a tranny stream, cut your dick off. Like, it's just like in the comments are just like, cut your dick off, turn it inside out.
I'm looking
like,
at the Uyghur question, quotation mark, Wednesdays, all these.
Yeah, exactly. McDonald's should be free, and I'm a tranny. Like, it's like that's like what all those like fast moving like live stream comments say and stuff. Like, it's like in that format. So, anyways, there we go.
Five.
Absolutely, you'd have to struggle a little bit for it. You'd have to talk to your fellow workers. You'd have to talk about the distribution of income. You'd have to compare your desire for PlayStation against all the other interests of all the other people. It wouldn't be something you worked out on your own with your particular boss in any way. It would have to be a democratic decision. You'd have to come to terms with that the way you do with democratic decisions now in our society, to the extent that we have them.
Dude, I'm not a huge Rand fan, but that just turned me into a straight up Randian.
Maybe that's his role in society. Yeah, because, you know, Ayn Rand would be like, yeah, just play the sickest game on your PS5. And
so, would a PS5 exist under socialism at all?
That's the thing, is I think there's like a, I think like, I miss, like, I have more respect for like the like dreary old commies that are just like, no, you won't need it. You know what I mean? Like those ones. Then the ones now that they're just like, well, I mean, look, like, it's going to be created. So the idea is that you need to own it and own its production. And like, it's like, you just want to play fucking video games all day. I understand that's what you want to do. Like, just sack up, dude. Just sack up.
Can you imagine the struggle of trying to get one under that? What do you just, the most subjective, wishy-washy set of rules and commandments about how you go about obtaining one, you know? It's fucking insane, dude.
Yeah. Oh my god, can you imagine that, dude? Like, on some like Oliver Twist thing, it's like, sir, I would like a PlayStation 5, like that. And they're
how
like,
did it get to this? I was it always like this? I just wanted like chemicals out of the water. That was my main thing. And it's just, now it's
again
like,
you thought you were in the year 1901 and you were a leftist. Exactly. Was the last time they cared about that.
Dude, it's insane.
They're like, sir, you realize this is 120 years later, and we want you to wear a mask and take a vaccine, or else you're a racist. I just laugh so hard. Can you imagine being the communist that like secretly has a PS5 too, like after it's determined that you're not allowed to have one? And just because everyone's a hater around you, and
hey, why are you late? Why are you late? Your eyes looking a little red.
He's like, what's up in that room upstairs? And he's like, nothing. And he's like, well, private property is not allowed. So if I just went up there right now, I could see, I would, he's like, it's storage. He goes, well, what are you storing? Nothing. And then, you know, then they get in like a crazy, like Dr. Zhivago fight over like a PlayStation 5. Ridiculous. Just ridiculous. Yeah. I had a lot of time when I was out on, fucking wisdom teeth pulling mode. So I was just, I had these thoughts, but then I was kind of feeling all the way back about like last Friday. I think that was when 420 was, right? Or that was Saturday. No, I think it was Saturday. Saturday was 420. I didn't know it was 420. So I, but then I saw a few people posting, and people just always have been weird about that holiday, whether you celebrate super hard or you remind everyone that like weed's bad on 420. Like all those people have always been really annoying. But I had this really like epic tarred stoner moment. Like, it was probably like 11 p.m. I'm playing MLB The Show on my PS5, which my workers
you have it. Okay. Yeah,
I love The Show, dude. I need to stop. It's getting in the way. I'm like, that game is like straight up tism, just rhythmic. Is that
new? It's a new game, right?
Come out with one every year. It's like Madden.
Oh, okay. I've just been seeing the commercials. I was never tuned into the MLB.
It's actually the best sports video game, but it's it's amazing. But it's also like hard too. Like, you get like really fucking pissed, like, because you're like, I'm in AAA and I can't hit anything. Like, you know, like
that's wild.
And yeah. They ended up. So anyways, I'm playing that, and I my kind of like decadent thing that I do. I try to like keep it to like one screen that I'm. I was wired in, had the wired in headphones, but I was listening to just music, and I hadn't listened to Bob Marley in a long time, and Bob Marley was on. And I was just like, you know, I have a complicated relationship with the music of Bob Marley. But I was just laughing at myself because it was like 11 p.m. on 420. And I'm like stoned. And I'm like listening to Bob Marley. I'm just like, what a fucking like Robert. Nah, you want to talk about on the nose. You know what I mean? That's like creating Karen Maher. You know what I mean? Like,
you find yourself in those moments where it's just so you couldn't even. Yeah, it's.
I just look down and there's like a towelie lanyard around my neck. Like towelie lanyard, fucking Cookie Monster pajamas and stuff. I'm like listening.
Gravity bong with foil.
And I do like Bob Marley's music. Like, it is ultimately good, but it's in sublime tier for me. Where I'm like, it was ruined for me. Like, it was ruined mostly by chicks. Like, because whenever chicks like smoke weed for the first time, they have to update their whole like playlist to weed songs, and it's not even like weed songs, but like you'll go to like their house and they'll have like the Bob Marley like Jamaican like flag silhouette face like blanket over their couch. You're like, did you just get that? Like, we smoked weed for your first time yesterday.
Yeah,
like and it's like draped across their couch, and then you just hear like faintly in the background, "I wanna love ya."
Yeah,
in the background, and you're just
that
like
Bob Marley Legends CD, that fucking dude, that one. I mean,
yeah,
it is what it is.
It's fucking tough. No, it's just tough. And every time I listen to like a Bob Marley song, even if it's really good, I just think of like the lamest like chick in high school that like you knew was gonna. Like, it's funny when you can tell when they get into like weed and stuff, and you're like, you're gonna like have this crisis mode moment like a year from now and like annoy everybody with like your journey to sobriety. You know, like, you're gonna do this, but right now I guess we'll enjoy you discovering that Bob Marley's good, actually. And so I was but remember when that I think it was a documentary that came out about Bob Marley probably about 10 years ago. Do you remember when that came out? There was like that Bob Marley.
I never saw that.
I didn't either. I was like, I already know everything about him. Like, I don't know, maybe it was because we were in California. I just felt like I knew everything about him. But I remember it came out and there were like a lot of like feminists, like Jezebel tier feminists, going like, wow, he was just an absolute, just for a guy that's talking about peace and love, like, he really, like, you know, treated his women like shit. I'm like, he's a Jamaican man.
He's a dog, dude.
That's
he's
what fucking they do. Yeah, like, dude, they're like, peace and love, brother. Like, they're doing all that stuff. They're like, fucking, like, she's cooking in the hut, dude, by herself.
I remember when my cousin got into Bob Marley, because he like forged the way for all of us to become hippies, you know, in his own way, you know, from like, you know, former like backcountry Oregon kid kind of thing. So he was getting Marley's and we were listening to it, and I was pretty young, and he was like, it's like, yeah, man, he was a cool dude, man. You know, he's like, he would just always just sleep with a bunch of women and just have a bunch of different kids with all of them. You know, he's like, that's so sick, man.
Bob Marley, when he was doing that, was kind of like, man, they're all going to make terrible versions of my music. Welcome to Jamrock, dude. I've literally,
dude, you do not fuck with that song.
That's one of the I fucking hated that song, dude. And I'm the target demographic for that song. When I was in like the local rap community, there were a lot of like reformed like prison black dudes that would get out that's their thing, is getting into Bob Marley.
Or army dudes love Bob Marley.
Yeah, they get it's whenever like you're trying to like really, you know, basically the lyrics to Could You Be Loved basically like are happening to them in real time. And like that was like a big thing where you can tell, you're like, this guy could still kill me at any moment. Like, but like, as long as the Bob's playing, like it doesn't matter. Yeah. I was just laughing. Yeah. Welcome to Jamrock. I don't fuck with. That was during the big like Modest Yahoo, Damian Marley, like reggae rap revival, Snoop Lion. You know what? I actually love Snoop Lion because it ruined it all. It just was like, he's like, Snoop Dogg hated it and was like, watch, I'll end this.
Well, it's funny. Exactly. Maybe that was his purpose, dude.
Get out, watch out, nephew. I'll end this.
I'm about to crazy.
I'm about to do a Canon inkjet printer commercial and then fucking make my reggae album.
Yeah. It's funny though, because we've literally just spent in the morning, we'll wake up on a weekend and, you know, make some coffee or breakfast or whatever, and we'll just throw on some YouTube. as we're getting ready, and we'll throw on so we've been throwing on some Arthur recently. We'll watch like kid shows a lot of times, you know.
There you go. Yeah.
And first of all, we maybe not this episode, but we one of these solos, we have to talk about the Arthur Asperger's episode. Dude, I mean, I want to show the clip though. I want to, dude. Okay. It is, it's insane, dude. It's crazy. But anyway, the theme song. First of all, it is a banger, dude. The Arthur theme song is a fucking banger.
It is
dude.
Good.
Ziggy Marley. It's Ziggy Marley right there.
Damn.
Yeah, I didn't know. Crazy. Yeah,
Arthur, because I would imagine that Arthur has a powerful Asperger's episode, because like they could think that like maybe you were a neglect, like a Asperger's kid that was like left in a house chained to a radiator with PBS on, and they're like, we gotta let him know,
dude.
We have to tell him the 100%, truth.
Yeah,
the truth.
No, and I was crying, laughing, dude, and of course I was interjecting like vaccine commentary and just being like, you know, like, yeah, you got the MMR, and but it's. These kids have like literally like three full breakdowns, rocking in his knees in the chair, like on the show they show it, and then the brain or whoever the kid is like, is there anything I can do to help? And the like the caretaker, like, you know, millennial woman chick is like, not right now, we just gotta wait it out. And it's so funny, dude. I was like crying laughing, dude. I thought of you immediately. You would be dying watching this episode. I never saw that one as a kid, dude. I don't think the Asperger's one.
No,
yeah,
no,
it's fucking insane. Yeah, but yeah, it's Ziggy Marley, dude.
It's funny when they used to like really spend money on like the kids theme song stuff. Yeah. Like I feel like now they just find like a SoundCloud beat and like put it or something from somebody. But I remember I think Phil Collins, I don't know who does the Miami Vice theme song, like the old show, but like Phil Collins would always be like popping up in the, it might be him, but he like would pop up in Miami Vice, like the episodes. He'd be like, damn. You know, Don Johnson would be like dejected because like he crashed a speedboat into like a cocaine factory, and like and he would just be at the bar like, man, I've got fucked up, you know. And then you know, all of a sudden in the corner he'd be like, can I get you a drink, mate? And it's like Phil Collins. It's like, oh, he's just at this bar, like, and it's, but it's him. It's not even like him playing somebody. It's, oh, he's like, nah, Phil, not now.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like, dude, that's the crazy thing, man. Like, when you know, because I do like a reasonable amount of Phil Collins, particularly like Easy Lover, the Philip Bailey collaboration, dude, which is a killer.
Jam, dude.
That's a smoldering hit. But yeah. I do laugh like the hearing like Phil Collins, because it's like, okay, if you were like had your girlfriend, right, and like, you know, she fucks around with like Philip Bailey of Earth, Wind and Fire, you're like, all right, well, you know, I lost that one. Must have been a riveting show. You know, and then you find out he met her at like a smoke shop. You're like, what the fuck? You know, and it's like, I thought he was singing Reasons to you, like on stage.
Right? Reasons. But, another banger, dude. Another banger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, like, I would just be like, all right, chalk it up as a loss and charge it to the game. And, but the Phil Collins, dude, I feel like as guys, like, that's the one that really fucks you up, because you're just like, Phil Collins? If he like came in and smashed, you know what I mean? Like just this bald guy, like
the cover, the fucking red cover, the classic album cover. It's like
no jacket required.
Yeah, cover, no jacket, dude. Fuck yeah, dude. Yeah. Come on, man.
It's like, dude, you let him do like you. I'd be mad. I'd be like, dude, can you pick like a good looking singer? Like, well, I have to live with the fact that Philly C came in.
But the thing is, dude, once you hit that nine figures, dude,
exactly,
it's fucking over, dude.
But
it's
doesn't over. Matter, though. Like, yeah. It doesn't really matter, because, like, as a guy, like if it was like Winona Judd or something, like as a guy that like comes and hits you, you're like, you still kind of like, God, do I really want to fuck Winona Judd?
A one-to-one mapping.
Yeah, exactly. It's just there's I mean, some guys, I'm sure, you know, like they might, but
those guys guys that want to smash famous chicks for some reason. Dude, like that's such a that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't work at all. They're just no, Buffalo Wild Wings waiter.
Yeah, this waiter is cool, dude.
Smash the button every time. Like just instead of like, well, yeah, but this woman's like rich and she owns like Target, and he's like, I'm fucking busted. She's not my target.
Bust your nut on the fucking red target on the dog's eye.
Yeah, because like there's certain guys, like you're just like, you know, like, because guys, you're constantly sizing other men up. It's just a thing. Even if you're not being weird about it, you're just kind of like, if that fool came in and like swept her away on some like, you know, like old school, like, you know, 14th century shit, like just came in, it's like, well, she's mine now, like you lost, dude. You're just kind of like, you'd be sad, of course, and dejected, but you'd be like, okay, but that guy has it going on. Like, he's just better than me. And like, women have to worry about the complete opposite thing, where they're just like, it doesn't matter what I do with my life. Like, you know, I have to worry about like the fucking, you know, random chick like that works at fucking Aveda or something.
It is crazy, man. You'll never hear the Rare Candy Boys say that we don't have empathy for or understanding for the plight of the modern female, dude. Yeah, you'll never hear us say that.
Yeah, because yeah, can you imagine that? Like your lady catches you cheating on you, and it's just like you're just like, I fucked Melissa McCarthy. I'm so sorry, babe. Like it's just we watched Bridesmaids 11 times together. Like, yeah. You know, just, and that was going through your mind. You're just
Ursula from the Little Mermaid remake.
she said she would pay for her new house and everything, but she changed her number. Like, yeah. It's just like.
Those dudes are tight that find their way into a situation like that. And they're just like, you're like Oprah's husband, dude. Come on, dude. That guy's, you know, he's just like
that Stedman, the boy Stedman.
The boy, dude.
Yeah, Stedman. Yeah, that Chappelle, the Chappelle skit was always so funny. After he fucks, he's like, gotcha, bitch. And no, exactly. Classic. Like that. Yeah. Yeah. Dude, my boy Jeffrey, dude, Barefoot Contessa.
Oh man, dude. There's Stedman and then there's Jeffrey, dude. You know, there's like a level up.
Dude, I know we've talked about it.
What does he do? Is he like a day trader or something?
I think he does nefarious things. Like, but it's like, I'm not trying to take him down. I think he like is just like, he's like, oh, I just shorted like this thing that everyone needs. Like, you know, like just like he was doing like on some like,
he's like an accountant for the mob. You know, he's like a number cruncher for like,
something where he's like, hey, honey, like, you know, she's like, Ina's like, Jeffrey, I've made the lettuce wraps, or do you want to wait for everything to be done? And he's like yeah, I'm just and it's like 2018, he's like, yeah, there's this company called Modern that's looking for funny, I think I'm gonna long them. She's like, Jeffrey, that can wait. And then, you know, and then he comes into the kitchen, smashes like a whole fucking midnight
cheese on rye,
yeah, dude, with fucking, a midnight cake, you know, and then a spritzer, and he just like tears the whole thing up. And first off he's probably putting it down. Because she has cookbooks, Cooking for My Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Like, that's like what half her cookbooks are called. Yeah. So it's like, and Jeffrey's just got that like Woody Allen 70s, like Woody Allen character, like vibe going on. And it was just,
he's not so secret alpha, dude. That's our series on this show, you know, secret/not so secret. We don't know what it is. It's uncharted waters. It's,
she worked for Nixon, didn't she? She was like in the sphere back in the day.
She wrote from Watergate.
There you go. Well, there you have it, dude. Yeah.
No, but imagine that hustle. That's such a weird dynamic of your bae becomes like a Martha Stewart gajillionaire off of serving you food, dude, and like writing cookbooks for you and shit.
It'd be really funny if you go into Jeffrey's
room
and he's just streaming with Richard Wolff and stuff, and he's like on a communist stream. He's like peeing into a bag with like Cheetos everywhere, and she's like, Jeffrey, you don't have to eat like this anymore.
Yeah. Jeffrey with the PS5 playing MLB.
Listening to Bob Marley and shit. Put my love on the table. Yeah.
She's got Funyuns. Jeffrey,
she's like, Jeffrey, I could cook these for you if you just told me that you wanted them. You don't communicate.
Like, sometimes I want a ballpark Frank.
He's like, what I want you to do is get out of my fucking room, Ina. Yeah.
Dude, what a boss, man. And that's also that fucking very strange, it's a foreign, just a foreign landscape to me, the East Coast coastal, like you know, boat docks in Maine kind of vibe, Connecticut,
Carly Simon will be coming by tonight.
we're gonna
have dinner with her, and Carly Simon's gonna be bringing the head of Warner Brothers Records over, and I just know that he's gonna love these dates that I'm
and
she's like, oh, her kitchen always looks like immaculate, very Wedding Crashers, like crab cakes and Football House, like unbelievable, dude.
Yeah,
it's so funny. My mom is like not into like the whole like cooking, like she cooks, but she's like kind of like the eye roll, like, oh, I'm supposed to cook for the man, like, you know, like just kind of well this house would fall apart without me kind of thing, you know, like she's kind of like that, but even she knows like Ina's just got the sauce, dude. Like, Ina's just
the boss with the sauce,
dude. Yeah. Is her fucking name Vagina?
Yeah, it's shortened. Apostrophe Ina.
Vagina Gardner. Jeffrey's like, yeah.
Sauce Gardner.
Yes. Yeah, their kid's name is Sauce Gardner.
Yeah. That's their son. That's how he grew up, dude. Just eating fucking rice so fast. He eats like raw cheese like, and shit.
Yeah. This is our son, Ahmad, but he goes by Sauce.
And, yeah.
I named him Sauce because he used to love the marmalades and all of the reductions that I would make. And
we wanted him to play for University of Maryland, but he wanted to go to Cincinnati. Yeah. Like,
well, I'll tell you what they don't have in Cincinnati. These pretzels, these soft pretzels that I make, they don't have those. They don't have those. They only have chili with beans.
Yeah.
And on spaghetti. And that'd be great. That'd be great. Yeah. So, last week I was at work. I was working through injury, dude. It was tough. Couldn't eat. It was hot, but I was working in the big metropolitan area of my city, and dude, the crackheads are evolving. Like, it's a different kind of crackhead out there, because I was right by like this like government housing, which, dude, it was lightweight shitting on where I live. I was starting to go a little Adam Carolla kind of like, everybody looks like they don't, you know, oh, you have the day off. Does the whole apartment complex have the day off today? No one's going to work, you know. Kind of feeling that way.
Yeah.
And dude, there were one guy was walking up, and like, it was one of those ones where we have just like this massive trench in the middle of the road, and you want everyone to just walk on a certain side, which is just like, it just feels like that, you know, dismantling a bomb, you know, disarming a bomb, basically. Yeah. Like, to some of these people, they're like, that side. I'm like, yeah, the side that's the guy's not sawing an open pipe on. If you just like walk on that side, that'd be sick. Like, over here, I'm like, yeah. Yeah. The crackheads for a while were getting it. They're like, oh, they would be like, one guy was walking, and he was this OG like bald head like Orange County Choppers looking guy that's into meth and stuff, and he was like walking, and you could hear him from far away cussing like just out loud, and I was like, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah.
And I could just, it was just kind of like, all right, I got about 2 minutes apiece before he gets over here. Yeah. And he's walking, and he said, fucking gay ass faggot, fucking gay, like he said gay ass faggot, which made me laugh really hard. and then I was like, it's like fourth grade insult, like.
Yeah.
And then he's like walking, he keeps going, he's dropping slurs, doing all these things, and then he comes up to me, he goes peace brother, and then walks away.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that'll,
when they snap out of it for a person is amazing. I'm
it's
like
crazy. And that's happened to me before, that exact same thing where someone's like, yo, and you're like, oh cool, you're nice, yeah, I need to, yeah.
Yeah.
And speak then there was, to meet your inside world. You
know? But there was an old black guy, and like, I don't know if you've ever seen like the old black crackheads that were like fedoras and stuff, and like the silk shirts and stuff. Like they just didn't stop pimping. There's no more hoes, but they didn't stop. That doesn't mean you
Berkeley,
stop pimping.
Dude. Yeah, that was my Berkeley.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, one of these guys. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he makes the tour across the Bay Area. Like he's going around. So he walks up, and I'm like, he's like, I'm gonna walk right here. And I'm like, hey, can you walk on that side? He goes, I want to walk down the middle. I was like, no. Like, and then he's just like, I was like, can you just walk over there? He goes, I see a path. And he had like three teeth. And I was like, okay, like that, agreed. Like there's a path. I do too. And
it's like a running back in his lane.
Yeah. I was like, he goes, what you gonna do about it? I was like, nothing. I was like, I'm gonna do nothing. I'm gonna tell everyone to stop working, and everyone's gonna get annoyed.
Yeah.
And then he just like walks through. I like let it be known and stuff. And he goes, I'm late for my meeting. And like where we were working is the pathway to like this park where everyone smokes crack at. Yeah. And I was just like, I was just laughing that, like, I was like, what do you have, like a fucking briefcase or something? You're gonna go to your meeting, you're gonna go buy some crack. Like,
it's no, yeah, it's no, but they, dude, they on, I'm not even joking, they will have straight up like meetings. It's they will like congregate and have
like HOA meetings.
It's crazy. No, they'll be like a leader, like it's just like dropping bar like minutes at like Robert's Rules of Order or some shit. It's so funny, dude.
I know.
I've seen it, dude. I've seen it. It's crazy. It's so funny, dude.
I know. Yeah,
that's, I mean, I miss the Bay Area. Up here, dude.
Compared to Portland. Yeah, compared to Portland. Dude,
is like, I do want some diversity up here, because up here it'll be like some like some like white bum on the, I was on the Max. There was a brief period of time where I had to take the Max to go to work, which is like the light rail or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this dude, I was going,
that's home. One where they give you the tokens that you can give to homeless people.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I never took it enough to understand.
I thought you could, because when we took it when I went there last time, and you could buy So basically, like, it was this thing where you, it was a token that only worked at restaurants or something.
Oh, okay.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
So if you were giving money and you were worried about them buying meth, which they'll never figure out how to sell those coins for meth, which is one thing they just won't learn how to do. It's not, but yeah, it's like, oh, I guess I'll just eat food then and not buy meth. I just laughed at that. It was like these like very like performative tokens. But anyways, you're on the map, the Lyro.
Yeah, no, well, and it is crazy because, I mean, just as an aside, the max, even liberals, even the most tame liberal are scared because you can like go on the max and just get your throat slashed by like a random dude. It happens like every year. It's insane. And so people like don't take it anymore. But I this guy brought on this whole bunny hutch. I swear it was like the length of a whole car. It was like 10 feet long, 4 feet tall, 4 feet wide, and you couldn't see inside it, but it smelled like shit. It was like a bunny hutch, and he brought this thing on, and I'm like, where are you? What's your point A, point B, dude? Yeah. Like, where are you going to, and where are you coming from with this bunny hutch?
Yeah.
And it was like the most foul odor I've ever smelled, and I was... I mean, that comes with the turf, you know, but I'm like, I miss the Bay Area in that moment.
No, it stinks here too. Don't worry. Yeah. It's like, it's just like, like you'll see. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, and everyone's like polite, like looking around, like, hey, I mean, y'all like make eye contact with each other. The guy with the NPR tote is just like, Tucker Carlson would love this, you know, like would love to see me there. It's always where their mind goes because they don't want to address the problem that it's like, this is objectively terrible. For all parties involved, but they think about like the right wing person capitalizing, like laughing at it. So therefore, like they can never address that there's an issue there. They're always just thinking about their political enemy while that's happening, and they're like, well, it's still not the way they say it is. It's like, no, it is. Yeah.
Why does your mind go there immediately?
Always. It's not a real thing. Like, they're not in reality. It's really weird. Like, they're just like they're like they think they're gonna click on like a fucking, you know, like Prison Planet video, you know, like and see the city they live in looking like the city they live in.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, well, there's no context, you know. Oh yeah, your city's a shithole.
Yeah,
you know? Like, it's like
no context.
Yeah, it's it's ridiculous.
That's wild. Yeah,
but you know, it'll make you want to light yourself on fire.
Uh-oh,
another guy did it.
So
are, and it's like, I couldn't figure out, you read the guy's manifesto, right?
I did. It's on Substack, dude. That's the funniest.
Oh god!
The whole time I was like, man, why couldn't Bob's Red Pill pop like this? Like this manifesto.
I know. Well,
and that was funny. And then I was thinking it was fucked up because I was thinking it like he scheduled this. He did the auto scheduler thing because he's like, if you're reading this, I did this. And so I was like, oh, I've done that before where you schedule a post for like noon on Sunday, you know. So he did that, dude. And I was like, damn, dude, that is crazy.
So he lit himself on fire, but I heard from a couple different parties. One guy said he was super into crypto, and one person said, which I mean, whatever, dude. I mean, I don't know. It feels like a weird time to do it now if you're into crypto because it's finally popping again. But
he said that crypto was like a false flag method of controlling the population.
Oh, I see. He's a leftist. Yeah. So, anyways, these are all self he himalations, dude. That's what these guys are. That's what these are. Like every time I said it the first time and I kind of felt bad when I'm like, that's still a guy lighting himself on fire. And I'm like, no, of course. Now everyone, and you know, some people will say like, well, dude, you know, so maybe if the left just start lighting themselves on fire, like maybe that's not such a bad thing. I'm like, no, it's a bad thing because they'll find a way to make that cringe and fucking lame for all of us too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he survived too. And then obviously died. But
bro, like, that boy was cooked.
Dude.
That's like me. That's like when the parlay doesn't hit, dude. He was in the fucking stretcher. I was like, damn, I've been there, brother.
For you know? Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then not to jump ahead, but I don't know if you wanted to talk about, I remember I brought up to the GC, we've seen someone burn alive before. We've seen it,
dude. It's really weird. I guess I do.
I'll tell the story if you want.
Yeah, well, we will. But I'm having it really brought up. I have like a really good memory. Like I have like an insane like elephant memory. I remember people's names. I remember all the dates, times, like all these crazy things. I do remember it. I remember the visual of like seeing the guy on fire.
Yeah,
I just like I didn't remember that you were there. I didn't remember I was there. I remember. I don't know. I felt like it was like a weird dream thing. Maybe I just memory hold it or something. Yeah. But please, yeah, we saw a guy light himself on fire, I guess. What?
Yeah, like, I remember it was after graduation, senior year. And I think, oh, it was you and a couple of the homies were working at like the summer camp, you know, and then.
Okay.
And then we all decided to, or you guys invited me because I didn't work that job, but.
Yes. Yes.
You were like, yo, we're going to play. So we ended up playing summer.
You were fucking around with that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You had a vested interest in that. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So I think you were invited to everything because she was there too. So
yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was one of those situations. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, but the, yeah, so we went and played the softball game at our old middle school. Even though we just graduated high school, you know, it was like summer and the thing was open, the softball thing was open and everything. And I remember, we were just on that like absolute high of graduating high school and not giving a shit about anything.
Yeah, 420 Bob Marley, dude.
Dude, just it was, it was just mm-hmm. like endless jokes and shit. And I actually lived, cause my mom and I lived,
That's right.
Yeah, I live very close to where this thing happens, mm-hmm. like a couple intersections away.
That's right.
Yeah. And there, yeah, there's this main like expressway intersecting with this like school street, and yeah, we lived like close by, because it was just my mom and I for a little while, and then all of a sudden we just hear this, and then we just see this crazy fireball and all this smoke. And then literally everyone in the whole, not even involved in the game, just like everyone in the whole, like, oh, because it was attached to a park too. That's right. It was this big ass park, right? That was mm-hmm. like next to the school. And so everyone in the vicinity just runs over to this fence where this intersection is. And I swear to God, we see this guy in this guy got hit on his motorcycle by a truck.
I remember
and
it now.
He was he was on his back like this, like straight arms in the air. And just a flame, dude, like a fireball of it was a fucking. Yeah. I don't know how you catch fire. You know, I understand how you die getting hit by a motorcycle, but how do you catch fire? Maybe the gas leaked or whatever. I don't know. But anyway,
he was starting a Substack.
Exactly. And But I remember the ambulance showed up and they took one look at him and just covered him in the blanket and like took him away, dude. But there was this fireball, and then I remember being I wasn't mad or anything, but. I was like, yo, that is so fucked up. I was like shocked and scared. And I was just like, this is insane. And then I remember all of you guys were just like joking about it and like, oh, let's fucking go, dude. And
fucking
I was like,
roasted. Yeah.
I was like, just saw someone die. I was like, I was the only guy that took it like seriously.
Shut up, fag. Yeah.
It was like that, dude. It was exactly like that.
I know. And no, I think I was one of the people. I'm like, damn, he got fucking smoked. Like,
I was so shocked, dude. I was such a sensitive boy, dude. I was just like, god damn, this is crazy.
I know, that's crazy.
Then I thought of like Harry Potter, when if you see someone die, you see the thestrals, you know, like the horses and shit, where but they're invisible if you don't see them. And I was like, maybe I'll see some horses now and shit, maybe we'll horse around. That guy, dude, that dude went up in flames, dude. And yeah, that was, it was crazy.
Well, yeah, and so the like, dude, it's just like now, like people are just going to light themselves on fire. And it feels like a very election year thing. It feels like they're like, like the mass shootings, like those are, we can't do like too many of those, you know, like then like commerce goes down, you know, and like people are scared to go places. Like, let's bust out like just guys lighting themselves on fire for like politics, for like the sake of democracy. And
you have to ask if every single one of these dudes is, you know, maybe not beknownst to him, but is an op. Created by the CIA or something. You know,
I mean, the one guy was a military guy. I mean, like,
and wasn't he like in the, he was like pictures with George Clinton, with Bill Clinton, and like, you know, just all this different stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just was like in that world basically. And it's, but yeah, his shit was schizo. It's like, I don't understand. Yeah. It was like ultra. Yeah. It's the crypto is going to be the thing that tanks the world economy. I don't know. I don't want to be naive or anything, but as far as I can tell, crypto is a much harder, stronger form of monetary trade than like the US dollar. You know, it's like the thing we joke about, like, oh, you're a big US dollar fan, you know? So I don't know. I don't want to be naive, but maybe he knows some shit that I don't, or we don't. But It sounds like he's just wrong about a lot of shit.
I was gonna say, he was like, fuck, I'm wrong. And then,
yeah,
but I don't
know. He lost a trade, dude. He just lost one trade. And
there is a male urge to just be like, what if I just lit myself on fire? You know, like, or what if I just jumped off that shit? Hell, I not like I don't have a death wish, but like, what would it be like? You know, like, like I've told that story on here. Like, I remember telling my wife one time, like, I was like, when I saw, you know, when you have like the stove and it's like just red hot. And nothing's on it. Like, you see it. And I was like, do you ever think about just like pressing your fucking palm on that?
Yeah.
And she's like, no.
Dude, no, they'll like, never understand.
I don't ever think about that. I was like, whoa.
They'll never understand what it's like to have those weird ass thoughts. I think you'll never act on them. Or I'll just think about like what it would be like to just get stabbed or something.
Yeah.
Or, all the time. You know, or just like, or if just weird, or like, it's like Bill Burr when he's like, dude, I could move this steering wheel 15 degrees to the right and just mow all these people down. He's like, I'll never do it, but I think about it. You know, it's like, come on, man. That's just like,
or like, if I do it, like, will something cosmic stop me?
Yeah.
From like actually doing it? Cause like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, exactly. It's like,
it's like Dallas, dude.
Women are hearing this right now. Probably, well, like five of them, but like they're hearing this and they're like, these guys are psycho. I'm like, no, every guy is like this.
Everyone.
Like, it's like, you don't, there
well, is. What it is, every, the psycho guys are the ones that actually do it. That's the difference. That's the, we all think, you know,
you lose the filter.
You lose the filter.
You lose the filter, dude. Like,
yeah. It's Jack the Ripper. Yeah, it's the
That's why I stopped drinking Shift, dude. Because I'm like, dude, if I keep drinking that Shift, I already have a very paper mache filter,
dude. This last batch, man, is spicy. Dude. I'm telling you, if there's something up with this, it's a little. He needs to tone it down a notch, dude. Shaman Shack went under. What these weird things are?
I don't know. I think we're being Australian. I think we're being systemically throttled.
Yeah.
And they went, they burned our crops is what they did. This is very old school warfare is like the, you know, kill all the animals, burn the crops, basically take the adaptogens away from RC, but it's not going to work. I mean, it's futile, to be honest.
It's like John Steinbeck, just a can of kerosene with a
100
packets of Shift in a field, just lighting it on fire.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's hater bullshit, dude. Honestly, you hate to say it and you hate to harp on it too much, but, by the way, that there was another really funny thing, dude. This guy was the most unemployed guy I've ever seen in my life. Was at this job where I was at that. He came out of the government housing and he came out and like he walked out. It's right by the light rail station where in this area, and he was just posted up. And he came out. And he had the, dude. Homeless people have been rocking the Bluetooth speakers like crazy, dude. They go. Did Obama provide those? Because like, every homeless guy has a Bluetooth speaker just kicking jams all day. That's now. Crazy. I don't hate it. I mean, no, I truly, but it's just. Yeah. When did that start? It was so weird. And
funny.
And this guy was jamming. Dude. He was playing some slaps, dude. It wasn't like I could. This couldn't have been Spotify. If it was, it was premium. And then I'd be like, dude, how do you have Spotify premium, dude? And because there was no ads, so I think he would just had like a bunch of jams on there. And he was he had some sick ones. He had a lot of old school rap, a lot of old school Bay rap and stuff. And he was playing it. But dude, this guy came out and he was dancing to all of it and like going crazy. And he smoked two blunts back to back.
Yeah.
Like back to back to the face, like back to back. And like, you know, if you don't smoke weed, like that's like a solid, like 35 to 40 minutes of just like smoking weed continuously.
That's a lot.
And like, dude, and one guy came up and he was like, what's up, man? You smoking? He's like, no. Like he was like trying to get a hit. I'm like, damn, you don't have one hit to spare off like those two blunts. damn, dude. Yeah. Like, he's just like, I got to get this exact type of high, or else I lose my mind,
dude. Yeah, once you're three quarters of the way into the first one, it all kind of blends together. Anyway,
you start giving it away. You're like, please, somebody take this from me. But no, he was already getting the second one going, and he would roll two of them. And then after a while, there was this unrecognizable bad music playing, and it was like very, very underground rap. And I don't know if you've ever heard like anybody who hasn't heard like not just underground rap like Def Jux or like, you know, Anti-Con and stuff, but like underground rap that's like just underground local rap where like it's a guy who might like freestyle at a party, but like decided to put out album after album, and he can't rap and he has no charisma. So yeah. Like it'll be like the songs, the beat will be like boom, chi-chi-chi-chi, boom, chi-chi-chi-chi, like, and he'd be like, yeah. I told that bitch like this, told that bitch to suck my dick. Like that's how like it sounds, and they don't like, they're just like, they don't know how to rap, but they know how to like make words rhyme. And that type of music kept going. I was like, okay, this must be like his boy or something. And it just kept going and going, song after song, and it sounded like the same like Darren Waller ass like terrible rap. and it was just
that put like, it that made it real for me.
Just sure, Chat GPT rap, dude. Just like just terrible rap. And it was over like really bad, like maybe like Acid, like remember the Acid program like that you used to make beats on? Like that it sounded very much like that, very much like kitchen sounding, like timekeepers and stuff. Kitchen equipment drums and he was rapping it, and it just kept going and going and going, and then I realized like, no, this is him, this is his music,
he made bars,
dude, and he kept going and it's funny because like it felt bad for him because he was getting compliments like the construction crew, that he'd be playing like I Got Five on it, everybody be like, hey, turn that shit up, dude, like, you know, it was kind of festive, and then that shit came on, scared all the hoes, dude,
nobody was
listening to it, so he was probably just thinking like, damn, like it's just not, it's not for me. And I was laughing thinking about like a Chapo style like leftist coming up and observing this and just seeing the guy be like, man, that's a guy that was failed by capitalism or something. I'll tell you right now, every song he was rapping along to, he was not sparing the n-words. He was a white guy.
So
I could see the guy go, well, it sounds like he did it to himself then, you know, and just like walking away. Like it's healthcare for all, but that's not all, doesn't mean all.
That's a special place to be where you're you're the that's the only the one white guy that could get away with that in the Bay, dude. In the Bay, you know, is like that dude, you know, or like that type of dude. That's fucking hilarious.
It would have been crazy if he just self-immolated right there. you're just like, this is my last, this is how I wanted to spend my last day, guys, and like light myself on fire in front of everybody. And then all of a sudden Gavin Newsom like finds the government for him. Because he doesn't have any money, and Gavin Newsom's like, it's still a fire. I don't know what to do. Still a fire.
Oh my god.
It was crazy.
What's up with our boy Gavin, dude? I'm fucking not clued.
Did you hear the Tucker interview on Rogan?
I just finished all of it.
Earlier today. Did you hear what he said? He was like chatting with Gavin Newsom on the phone. I was like, did that fool call Tucker Carlson?
I know. Dude,
Tuck, what's up? You know, what are you doing,
Nip Tuck, bro? What up,
what's up, gay boy? just like,
dude, I know that's what's cool about this whole him doing that is because you never know that if you know left to our own devices, but we know that now. You know, it's so funny,
dude. He was electric. He was electric. I honestly thought it was gonna come on, and I thought I'd find a few things like interesting, and then I thought it would sound like Garden Variety, like Daily Wire, like this is what they read to kids in school, like just kind of like shit you hear everywhere. Tucker was incredible. His alien stuff was on point. I was like, literally my opinion,
and that's what everyone hated about it the most. And Adam Lehrer was on that like 4 years ago. He's like, dude, he's clearly the most interesting guy on TV. You know, he's clear, you know, he was just amazing. So it was
he was funny. He was really funny. Yeah. He was just like,
dude, that
and he wasn't
dude,
like,
that fucking
sounded like a free man. He sounded like a free man. 100%. Is what he sounded like. Like, cause he was talking about like there was that one part where he's like, and I had on a black nationalist, somebody I thought I'd never agree with. And he's like, you know, he's like, am I racist? I don't know. Maybe like that. He said, it made me laugh so hard.
You gotta ask. You gotta ask yourself.
Yeah. He's like, oh, you must be racist. He's like, I don't know. It could be like,
he said it. Which is honestly the correct answer.
I laughed so hard.
Which is honestly the thing you're supposed to say, not in the whole, like, you know, like I have like friends and family members that are liberals that are like, we're all racist. Not like that, but where you're just like, I am. I don't know. You know, it's like, I don't know what the rules are anymore.
Yeah, they do like Minority Report, like precog thought crime racism.
Exactly.
Like, tomorrow, I could get my shoe stepped on by a homeless black man and I may utter some sort of thing in my mind.
Exactly.
And then if I'm arrested, I will pay the crime. I will go to jail. Like, it's okay. Like, that's what jail's for. And like, that's like the way they think of
Also, like, I love that Tucker's into Billy Strings, dude. Shout out Billy Strings, dude.
That's it's so funny how he's just like a jam. He's just like a jam band head. Like,
I know. Well, that's what's cool. He never shies away from like his trust fund origin.
Oh, you know? I know.
He's always like, yeah, that's what was my life when I was a kid, dude.
No, it was great. It was just so good. And like, I thought some of like his cosmic warfare stuff with like the nukes was really cool. I was like, whoa, dude. I was like, this is like some Joseph Farrell kind of like lightweight.
Exactly.
I was like, this is sick. He needs to have Joseph Farrell on X, dude, with the top hat, dude.
Yeah,
come in with the top hat on Tucker 100%. On X. Yeah,
Joseph Farrell and Flint Dibble, dude. Or...
dude, don't even get me started on the Flint Dibble episode. I have plenty of things to say about Flint Dibble, but please go on with Tucker.
No, but I what was I gonna say about that? Not Flint Dibble, but the bomb. Yeah, of course, dude. Every time anyone mentions the fucking atom bomb, there's always, well, actually, you know, we you know, it's just, I don't even care if you're right or if you're
yeah,
like, dude, shut the fuck up.
I just think like, no, because it's like, it is true, like that did end the war, like, for no, sure. that is 100% true, but yeah. The thing is like, it was meant to end all wars, and it literally didn't happen. So, no. can we just look back in retrospective that there probably isn't one thing that could ever end all war? Yeah. Read Blood Meridian. Yeah, all you gotta do is read Blood Meridian to find out how war is never gonna end.
Yeah, and exactly. And the whole my whole thing with that, and not to make this the discussion of the, I'm sure this is boring people, but you know, but I'm sure there's people that listen to us that are like, you know, it needed to happen, blah, blah, blah. That's fair. Okay. You know, I don't really agree, you know, whatever. But the whole thing is, and this is just my super hippie esoteric take, is the UFOs dismantle the nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
That's the one thing they do to interfere on Earth. They're like, no, you're not allowed to do that.
Mothman gets active like that.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Dude. So I'm like, it's not the same. Yeah, it's like, obviously, any, you know, firebombing, Japan, all that stuff, it's all a tragedy. It's all killing humans and stuff. But there seems to be something uniquely strange and evil, like Tuck said, about the nuclear weapons in particular. There's something going on there that's beyond just like murdering people or something. You know, there's something demonic about that, you know, to use a lack of a better phrase.
100%. And like, just the idea, yeah, exactly, like you're upsetting, I mean, what we think is never before seen tech. I mean, like, again, I want to talk about some Graham Hancock and Flint Dibble stuff where perhaps we have seen this type of stuff before, but there's also been cataclysms before where you're like, well, maybe is that what's happening? Like,
from the 5 to the 6, we be in the mix with a rickety paint job on the whip. I need food for the kids, money for the rent.
Fucking Dibble, dude. I didn't listen to it the day it came out, and I saw some people. So for anybody who doesn't know, Graham Hancock is, I'd probably say, it was like, in terms of popularity, a top 10 Rogan guest, and he deserves it. He's incredible, he's charismatic, he's funny. His haters have him pegged so wrong, it's not even funny. Like, they're like, Graham just, he never lets anybody get a word in. He's earned
his British accent.
He literally will sit there and be like, no, what do you have? Like, I want somebody to come talk to me. Please, somebody come talk to me, instead of just like getting my shit viewed as science fiction. So Graham Hancock had the show, and we covered this, actually. I didn't realize we were covering the Flint Dibble hit piece at the time when we said, like, Graham Hancock gets accused of like racism and stuff because he's like,
I didn't know that was him. And I didn't
know. No, I didn't either. So what Flint Dibble, this guy's name is Flint Dibble. And you'll be shocked to find out he's an archaeologist and the son of an archaeologist. So his dad, he's just a Reddit family. He just comes from a Reddit family. Yeah. And if you look at him, absolutely, he looks like if you were in the Lord of the Rings Shire, and you're like, but it was r/Shire, you know what I mean? Like, and you just do like, it was the Reddit Shire, like, and that's what he looks like. And so at the beginning of it's 4 hours long. I listened to the entire thing over a couple days, and it's all good too. It's all really good, but it's triggering if you've ever dealt with these type of people. It's really, really triggering because he does everything. he does everything that libtards do. Like, because I didn't know
I don't know, man.
And the laugh, the uncomfortable laughing. Like, well, I mean, I clearly disagree with that. Yeah, I mean, that's that. I mean, Graham, like, your sightings. I mean, you're like, just like, everything's like that, and they do that thing where, like, you know, they're gonna write a scathing thing about you, but right now they're like laughing you off.
Yep.
And so Flint Dibble wrote a piece about Graham Hancock's Netflix show. That came out about a year or so ago, and he basically said that Graham Hancock is promoting white supremacy, pseudoscience, all the stuff you do when you want to put the axe in somebody. Like, yeah. He basically is like saying that a certain indigenous culture didn't come up with on their own X this thing, yeah. Whatever you're crediting to, whether it's the pyramids, whether it's Mayans and the star stuff, and like all these things, to say that they had help from like a lost civilization is basically confirming like white supremacy, because these people of color could never have created that on their own.
Which is the dumbest.
It's dumb. But we'll
not
talk
even from a like an anti woke standpoint. It's literally wrong.
Yeah. So, but anyways, he says that. And Graham Hancock's like, well, what am I saying that's racist? He goes, I didn't say you were racist in the piece. He's like, and Graham Hancock has it queued up. He's like, yeah. I have the piece.
That's that a laser pointer.
That I have the thing that says I'm racist. He goes, no. That's what the Guardian, I think, was the people who published it. Yeah. It was like, that's what the Guardian decided to title. He goes, well, he goes, if it's so far off from what you said, why wouldn't you contact the Guardian and say, that's not what I said?
Yeah.
Because like, he's like, that what you're saying is when I'm an anti-Semite, Nazi,
yeah.
And using Flint Dibble says, well, he said you were citing white supremacist sources like Atlantis, like 18th century Atlantis stuff, where like guys were like, there was a secret, I guess, white society. I have no idea what those sources even say, but he was.
When it was really just probably de jure, like,
and I think it was just a reference, like just saying, like, here, people were talking about it here, people were doing it here. Because Graham Hancock's whole thing is he doesn't really have a point. It's more so like, leave the door open for this to be a possibility. He's never saying this is how the world started, this is what this is. It's all open-ended, and it's more interesting than archaeology. And
more
that's
interesting. The whole thing also is, first of all, he's a fan of all these cultures and he travels to them constantly and knows humans alive today that, you know. And the other thing is, I'm pretty sure most of those guys in that field are stoked about that stuff. It's not like, first of all, and I'm just, from my take, this is no knock. There's no way the Mayans came up with all that star shit on their own, dude. There's zero chance, dude.
No way.
They got it from somewhere. And that's not a,
and that's cool, that, because you the contacted
it,
them.
Exactly.
You the established fact that it was contact. Shared with,
exactly. And that, I think, so I think like Graham is probably looking at us today, like our society today, and being like, dude, we're losers, man. We're
that's,
we
that's
like
his thesis.
And so it's like, it's such an insincere reading. The fact that, I mean, literally that takes down Flint's whole everything right there. You know, it's just, I don't want to hear another word. Like, literally,
and the narrative. So Flint Dibble comes in as, and so he works for like, so he does the thing that libtards do. So like, just picture everything that he's saying with like pharma, right? Is what I'll say. So when it was 2021 and everybody wanted you to take the vax and stuff, like he has the same argument, but for archaeology. I didn't know archaeology was pure libtardation. Maybe it's not, but like it sounds like it. So what he said, Flint Dibble was like, look, all I'm saying was that your sources that you use, they were proven to be debunked and white supremacist. And he's like, how?
And
so he never really explains how Flint Dibble never explains how those sources are white supremacist, that to say, but it's like, and then Flint's like looking, he's like, well, I didn't say that. And the articles keep saying like, well, you are saying that. And I did look up, Flint Dibble actually wrote a post-mortem piece after Rogan saying why I went on Joe Rogan, like to apologize for like going on Joe Rogan.
Dude, my God. That's happened before with other
100%. It's a script. I think it's a script these people do, because the idea is like archaeology is Flint Dibble's whole thing is he's like,
look, he goes, so with like, I went into the lion's den. And it's like, oh, you got asked questions about
exactly. And you were asked to defend your position like without a lifeline, essentially. Yeah. And but he was just saying all these all these platitudes, like basically like, we're not, look, there is no such thing as big archaeology. We're not all out to get you. And then he's like, Graham Hancock's like, well, I'm public enemy number one. He goes, no, you just have a huge platform. And that's the other thing. They, whenever they bring up platform, they're jealous little haters because they're not cool enough. Their shit isn't cool enough because they're over here being like, oh, this is how tortillas were made. It's by Mexican women and the things like, you know, in the Adobe, they all do. It's like, no,
yeah,
like,
we all know that.
To the $90 million grant we got, we found out that tortillas existed in the 14th century. You're like, all right, wonderful. And he goes, and this should make every indigenous woman happy. And like, that's like, and Graham Hancock's like, I got something way cooler. So that so they're hating because he's succeeding. He writes very successful books. He has that successful Netflix show. He's very cool, very fun. Yeah. And so like, yeah, Flint Dibble saying like, dude, you're like, Graham, slow down, man. Slow down. He does that thing when like Graham, it's like, no, this is a debate. Like the gloves are off. Yeah. Like let's go. And and like
so condescending.
He keeps saying that Graham Hancock uses like race science. He's like, bro, you're an archaeologist. That is race science. Like it's literally art. And Flint Dibble's like, all I'm saying is that all of a sudden we don't get any funding anymore. We don't get any. He does this performative thing.
Because of Graham.
Well, I actually think that might be true because he's like, we're just these underfunded, and look, we hate each other too. Like the archaeologists, we don't agree with each other on anything. It's kind of like how doctors were like, well, doctors don't all agree on the same things, and you know, but we all know you need to take infinite shots of Pfizer and all that stuff. That's one. It's basically like we don't all agree on anything. We just know we all agree on one thing, that Graham Hancock is wrong, even though Graham Hancock doesn't have an official position. He's just trying to open more doors that he believes are closed by archaeology, by consensus science, essentially consensus archaeology, to say that we cannot explore a lost civilization. And anytime Flint Dibble would say, well, that's not what we've seen, when you Graham, you're saying that these people had help, but we're saying that there's hunter-gatherers on all these societies, and he'll say yeah, but you've only explored less than 5% of that area. So it's like, and then it comes back to funding. It's circular fucking shit. Yeah. Well, it's because we're not funded enough.
Yeah.
And it's like,
the other thing is, it's the null hypothesis, where you only need one example to completely negate any little bullshit theory you have. You know, where that's like Göbekli Tepe, where you have this ancient monument cut with lasers that didn't exist, like with hyper precision. That one example is enough to disprove all the other ideas you have, because it's older than it should be, and it's more complex and created with crazier tools than it should be. And that's Graham's whole point. It's just the null hypothesis. You know, it's like you can throw that out the window, basically.
Yeah.
And he weasels his way around that. And it's like, we don't get any funding anymore. Well, okay, maybe because you getting funding is predicated on keeping lies going. That's his whole thesis. That's his whole argument. Graham's whole argument is that, you know, if you guys were maybe a touch more curious and humble, you know, that you might, I don't know, figure. Yeah. But the whole thing's a mess. You know, you can't trust any like Egyptology coming out now. It's all controlled, you know, by all these different forces and various governments and stuff. And that there's no way you could do mainstream Egyptology now today and find out anything groundbreaking. They wouldn't let it out, you know.
Like, I even get it from like the standpoint of the party line, because it's like, dude, you're like, okay, you've decided that maybe we're not just on this human like evolutionary trajectory of constantly going up. Oh, there's a dip, because people didn't trust science. Okay, now we're back. That is actually a really beneficial thing to happen, because it makes people suckers to buy into all new technology. You don't want to be a reactionary.
Yeah.
You don't want to be a reactionary, because you're going to set society back. What Graham says is like, well, maybe there's people that actually had it figured out in the back through technologies we can't. I've kind of Lovecraftian in a sense, but in a more positive light. Like, actually, we should try to find this stuff. If I ever talked to Graham Hancock, I'd be like, have you ever read like Lovecraft? Like, you know, I would love to like see what he would say. But
the main thing, sorry to cut you off, but these guys just do not want to accept that there could be aliens first and foremost and an ancient human civilization. That's the main thing. They just can't accept
that. No, but you have to change everything if that's true. And so I even understand it from like I own big archaeology. I am the guy. I'm like the scary Michael Crichton villain, like in the book, that owns archaeology.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, if we decide that like actually there was an advanced society in Göbekli Tepe, if Atlantis is real or any of these things, if that's the case, literally you have to scrap all school curriculum. You have to like all these things. Like, I even understand it. I wish Flint Dibble would just be like, look, man, like we've got it. Like, this is the curriculum. Like, this is what we're sticking to. Yeah. But he keeps acting like it's mano y mano. It's like, yeah. Well, here, you know, Graham Hancock, another thing he said to Graham Hancock that really pissed me off was like, he's like, Graham, you're a way bigger household name than me. I can't cancel you. I'm like, no, that's literally how all cancellations are. It's some loser going after a big person.
And writing articles in the Guardian. Because,
yeah. Dude, my parents don't know anything Graham Hancock's talking about. They're not interested in any of that type of stuff. But if they read a piece and look at a piece and hear, see the highlighted words of racist, misogynist, homophobic, exactly. All these things, or I don't know, whatever, any of the terms, it's all the killer, it's all the killers.
It's not an even playing field, and it's not it there's different silos of belief, you know.
But it's like those are that means you want somebody gone, dude. Means you, like, when you do that, when you drop those words, that's what Hancock's whole thing was. Like, he's like, you did this, by you doing this, that means you want me wiped from everything. And they're like, no, I just didn't want people to, you know, I wanted people to understand your sources. It's like, no, that this is how canceling somebody actually works. I mean, the cancel attempt didn't work, which to Flint actually is a win for him, because he's like, see, it's not real. I can't act. None of this stuff actually, like, you're making this up in your head. He's like, no, I had to fight my ass off. And he's been barred from speaking at certain places. Yeah. And he's not an archaeologist. Graham
Hancock. TED Talk he's one of two that got the banned TED Talk. The other one being Rupert Sheldrake, both based ass talks.
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy, dude. They weren't even that controversial, too. That's like, they were not that controversial.
It's just quite. It's quite. Even if like I don't know what it is. It's interesting to see the gaps. And like Flint will always go, well, we're underfunded. We're underfunded. And it's like, dude, first off, like, I don't know what you think. Like, Flint is probably a liberal person, I would think, like, politics wise. I don't know what you think, but like, libtards don't care much for history unless it's carefully curated. So I would not be, if I was a libtard right now, I would not be funding archaeology at all. Like, I wouldn't, because you might find something that you don't want to find. And it's not beneficial. Look, they tear down the statues. They do all sorts of all these things to erase history. There is only the present. It's the ultimate form of nihilism right now, is there's this future that we're not going to tell you what the future is. It's just not, worry it's about not, the, not there's a cliche, battle we're fighting.
It's 1984, dude. Not to be cliche.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's the playbook's been out for a long time. Like, but we're in this unprecedented tech age to actually implement a lot of these things, the censorship, the lockdowns, the complacency of the people, all of these things that now is able to be deployed, and all it takes is one fucking loser to write an article. That's all it takes. But unless you're vigilant, unless you're actually Graham Hancock and actually persistent about defending yourself and not apologizing. He never apologized.
He'll get spicy with it.
He used to write. He's a journalist. He was a journalist. He's like, I know your fucking gay little game, dude. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Your name's
Flint Dibble. But have you ever thought, I think about this all the time, of like, let's say all this shit gets proven to be true, which I think it will in the long run, in the next 100 years, how funny it's going to look that like all these experts in all these different fields went on Rogan and they all just got completely slaughtered by these bros that were way ahead of them just by being curious. That's the funniest thing to me.
It's always the case, dude. And they write it off as like stoner pseudoscience. It's like, all right, dude, but you should not be losing. You should not be down 2 scores in the fourth quarter to pseudoscience right now, dude. Like, you should not. You should be.
Yeah, they're like the Boston Celtics or something. Dude.
Yeah,
it's like, they're fucking.
Yeah, like, you should not be. And they're just screaming at the referees instead of playing ball, dude. Like, it's like, nah, man. Like, the referees work for you, dude. Fucking figure it out. Exactly. Like, your shit sucks. You're like, that's why they never want to defend their position. That's why Peter Hotez never actually showed up to any of the fucking battles. That's why all of his stuff, like, it's all, that's why Rogan's important, dude. People like to cast off as nothing, but it's, we're lucky to have something like that, whether you like it, whether or not it's why it's important.
I won't stand for it. And I mean, don't get me wrong, everyone, the quality has gone down, quote unquote, and
I think he's back, dude. I don't know. I think he's back.
It's kind of like Burning Man, and I know everyone shits on Burning Man or whatever, you know, but it's like, no matter what era you started going to Burning Man in, there's always people that went 15 years ago that are like, oh, it was so much better back then, you know, no matter what, right? So it's like, even if, so there's always a older person that went when there's a better, same thing with like Rogan. It's like, oh man, 2007, you don't even understand, bro, that was the Rogan, you know.
Yeah,
it's like course. That kind of thing where it's like,
people love when to he tell was you the thing you weren't there for was better. I mean, that's just, that's the classic guy thing to do. So
exactly.
It's just like, That Flint Dibble one got me, and then the Tucker one I thought was just excellent and cathartic and fun, seeing a man who was public enemy number one as far as television for a long time, like just being a bro, dude, just like hanging out.
What did he do? Because people legit hate him. Like I listened to Talib.
Because he's good.
No, but I mean like I saw Talib Kweli on some podcast.
Oh god.
And no, I know, and I'm. But I mean, like, as an artist, like, I respect. I'm like, I listened to his shit when I was younger.
Did you fuck with Talib Kweli? I thought Mos Def was the better one.
Like, well, you like Black Star, you know, like that.
Yeah,
album.
Yeah, like, but he was. Good. And like the High Tech album, was sick too. The what was it? The Blast, that beat. But that beat is what I remember, not anything he said. Yeah,
but I listened to this podcast. It was just a clip. I didn't listen to the whole thing. But he was like, no man, you don't understand. I see that guy as evil. He is evil. And I'm like, what? Yeah. What did he do? Like, I could never figure. What's the worst thing that he did?
That's what I mean. No,
but I could never figure it out.
Conscious rap in 2024. It's not great, dude. I mean, you have Boots Riley doing all that weird stuff. You have Talib Kweli. Just like you realize, like it's like, dude, I just want like Razzcast telling me 9 minutes about how Jesus was black, and like that's way better.
Dude, that was a golden era.
Soul on Ice, Razzcast. It's like the best conscious rap album, because it's like you could tell the guy's just like, I'm gonna kill you if you don't believe this.
And it's done by like a real, like he could do gangster rap.
And it was ghetto too. Like it was kind of like poorly produced, but it was really good. I bought that album for $5.99 at Streetlight Records.
Dude. Oh yeah. Shout out Streetlight, dude.
Anyways, we have two voicemails. One of them once again accusing me of being a woman at some point, so it's just I don't know. It's just like when you're this pretty, dude, it's life on the other side, man. You know, grass is always greener. Anyways, no, it was a funny one. So here's the first one.
What's up, RC? Hope this works. I don't really know how your system works here, but
it's working.
I was just wondering, what do you guys think about Edward Snowden? You know, I've been seeing him in the news a little bit lately. There's some, you know, reauthorization of the Patriot Act going on. He's been making some noise of it, but you really don't hear about him anymore. Like, when that stuff came out, it was the biggest thing in the world, and then it just went away, you know. Probably got worse even. It definitely got worse, actually. But anyways, just wanted to get the, Patriot check on this guy, Edward Snowden. And if you have time, throw Julian Assange in there. Anyway, keep up the good work, guys. Cheers.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I never studied the Snowden thing that close. I just knew he was being unfairly punished. I mean, it's just quite clear. Like, it was all the NSA stuff, right? Well, that was Edward Snowden.
Yeah. I think it's obviously the question is, like, is he legit or is he an actor? And I think he's legit because it went after Obama. That was the whole, you know, so it wasn't like some, you know, and it wasn't like some, like Trump, like, oh, we got him, kind of, you know, like that, you know, it's one of those.
No, also, like, okay, let's say he's an actor, what does him doing that accomplish? People do get addicted to the controlled op thing, like everything's connected, I'm always like, well, him being a whistleblower on the NSA, I wouldn't have known what the NSA was if it wasn't for like the Facebook era Snowden like meme posts that people were doing. I wouldn't have even known what that was. I was chilling. I was watching people get lit on fire at fucking softball parks, dude. Like, I was not. That was not the case. Yeah. By the way, do you remember? You got me. I want to get back to this because I want to talk about Assange too. And by the way, the voicemail hotline's always open. Always leave the voicemail. Yeah. It will get answered. 510-256-9850. There was somebody calling asking about an accurate number of the Holocaust, and they gave me an over and under. Then he said, just kidding. then he said, just kidding. The number, I'll let you guys guess what he set the number at. And then he left a real question. It was funny. I'm not answering it. But
do you have you need to do a half a person, 8.5 million or something?
Exactly. Yeah, so, I remember, do you remember we went to high school with that guy and his last name was Bush? You remember what I'm talking about? He's kind of a nerd, and his actual name,
rapper. Wait, No.
He was at our high school, and he was just kind of like a roller backpack style kind of nerd guy. But he was kind of like one of those unpleasant ones that wasn't like a kind of like, that guy's probably nice. You know, he was just like kind of really, but he would always say, so like he was this guy that never it seemed like simultaneously he wanted to spread a rumor about himself, but also wanted to quell the rumors while they were being like, no, guys, don't bring that up. You know, it's like, you started it, you weirdo. He said he was of the Bush's baked beans dynasty. Do you remember this guy? And I was like, dude, you go to the fucking like tarred school, dude. Like the school is like your parents, somebody is not giving you money. Like,
can I get 20 bucks, dude? It's like,
God damn, I know, and he would be a little hater. Dude, I would be giving people pallets of Bush's baked beans.
I know, 100%.
If I was his dad, I'd be like, hey, spread the good word, because like, you know, there's these other Hormels on our ass. And we gotta pump up the Latino school. C-League baseball team school. Because our school was like one step above continuation school.
100%.
And I'm like, you're the heir to the Bush's baked beans.
Yeah.
And we didn't have Google. I mean, maybe we did, but we didn't have smartphones at the time. So like, like we weren't able to like. I do miss that era that I couldn't just call him out. Couldn't fact check him. I could just call him gay. You're gay, actually. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bush's gay beans is actually who you're from. Yeah. Remember that. But Assange.
Yeah.
Assange is another one. That was my biggest thing with one of the biggest things with the Trump presidency is I wish he just pardoned him on the way out.
That's a big one.
I'm for all of it. Remember we had one guy on one time and I thought it was really interesting. I think some people kind of jumped on him a little bit for he was a military guy, remote viewer, Sean Hazley. I like Sean Hazley a lot.
Oh, he's great.
It was this love thing Sean with the military, and I think he kind of went back on it a little bit. I think he's kind of on a little bit of a journey himself, kind of learning a few things and stuff. And he's has a wonderful show. Through a Glass Darkly, highly recommend. And I thought the episode we did with him was excellent about remote viewing. But he had said something about, I remember like seeing something talking about like classified information. He's like, that shit's important to stay classified.
Yeah.
And I'm just a completely different person. I'm like, no, we need to know everything. Like we need full disclosure. And he's like, no, he's like, because people act fucking insane sometimes when they know the truth. And it's like, and I'm kind of like, yeah, but like, dude, we're like right now, like we have like fucking weird like tranny generals in the military like on Biden's thing. I'm like, you really think these are like and I guess
just have that military mind.
Yeah,
that,
it's like, military mindset. Yeah, it's like the guys who remote view Satan and stuff because they're like, I gotta go after the toughest enemy, and it's like, then everybody thinks remote viewing is satanic because that guy did that.
Ruined it for everyone.
Ed Dames was the guy that did it, but what Sean had said was just like, I remember him saying something like, he's like, hey, at the end of the day, however you feel about it, Snowden was a traitor. He said that one time.
Yep.
And there were some people who had like followed him that because they were on our show and they would like send it to me. They're like, dude, what the fuck is up with this? I'm like, he's a military guy. Like, he's kind of like, I don't agree with that, but I'm like, it is interesting when people say it. It's like, yeah, but you are a fucking traitor. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you are like at that point, because Snowden was intelligence. Right. Yeah.
So well, like, that's the thing is that's, if we have, I mean, I know this is nothing special what I'm about to say, but this is the whole Tucker thing too. Is like, if we have rogue state actors, deep state actors like CIA and FBI that are completely undemocratic, that killed and dispardoned, you know, multiple presidents and stuff and politicians, going against them, and this is the whole liberal versus MAGA debate too. Is like the MAGA people are like, no, we need to conquer the deep state to get back to our true essence. And the liberals have fully taken the deep state pill.
Right.
Right. They're like, no, you're actually got to trust the CIA. And so that's the whole argument. And it's crazy.
Because Trump, that was the thing about Trump is just like, you could pin it all of your sins on Trump, all of humanity's sins onto Trump, and then look to strengthen the things that actually oppress us.
Yeah.
You can look at you. That was ultimately like whether Trump is an op or not. I don't think he is, but like whether Trump is an op or not, that still serves a purpose.
Absolutely.
Of getting people to just give up their rights because they're scared of somebody.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's my thing. Like, I that's why I will never join the military. Or I mean, I'm not going to now, but like it never crossed my mind because I just don't think that way. And I don't think patriotism is necessarily falling for man-made institutions within your country. I think patriotism is like a much more spiritual thing. Like, I'm proud to be where I'm from. I feel at home here and stuff. And I want my freedom of speech. And look, you can make the argument, and the people in the military often do, is that this is how we keep your freedom of speech. It's like, not quite with the Snowden thing, though. No, like the Snowden thing is not how I keep my freedom of speech. Julian Assange, that's actually not how I keep my freedom.
This is all new territory, and that's what people don't understand.
Yeah, that was literally meant to infringe our rights. And it, like you said, it was unprecedented tech that they were censoring. So it was like this weird thing where it's like, we gotta fucking make an example out of these people, because it was basically going from Terrence McKenna to Michael Crichton mode, where it was Terrence McKenna was like, look at all this freedom of communication these people have now that we can't centralize or haven't yet. And then can't censor it. We need to have the NSA come in here and be able to have basically mine information for whatever duty or purpose. And then it turns into Michael Crichton. Actually, it's just going to be homogenous thought because of censorship.
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly.
But the Assange thing is crazy because he's not a U.S. citizen, was never charged with a crime.
Yeah.
And is getting a lot of horrific. Pussy. Like Snowden. Yeah. Snowden can like walk to the store and shit. He can like live his life. Assange is like being tortured like nonstop, dude. It's fucking crazy, dude. It's like, and it's all over, and it's all over stuff that everyone believed about the Iraq War in 2002 and 2004, which is crazy to think about. That it's the ultimate example of, you know, when you got to take like 2 years before everyone, and you're like, these fucking losers got in late. You know,
no, I can't really.
He's the ultimate guy. It literally cost him his life. He had the ultimate, I beat you to the tape.
Dude, he was like smashing Pam Anderson and like all this shit. Remember, he was getting active. Julian Assange, which is like a classic foreigner thing where he's like, I watch Baywatch.
It's also sick that he was getting like donations in Bitcoin, and then like, Bitcoin popped hard. He was like a billionaire, but couldn't spend it and shit.
Yeah, he's cool. He's cooler than Snowden for sure. It's not even like Snowden. It's like, because I do agree with the fact. It's like, bro, you're like, you took that oath. Like
Snowden's like, use this VPN, and it's like, okay, do I really trust you, dude?
It's him. Yeah, that's the op, and that's why people aren't really Snowden. People aren't really talking about Snowden much anymore. It's like Assange is really more of the thing. So all right, here's the next one. I know we're going long today, but we haven't done a solo in a while. So this one is about women's baseball.
Hey, Rare Candy Industries, I got a better question this time. I think
this was after his other question. This was after his other question that I said earlier. His gambling over and under about a historical event. Trust the science.
The Oakland Bees, I think they had a lady pitcher throwing a mean 85 miles per hour. So I think maybe for a new Rare Candy series, maybe we call it Glendalina Undercover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Glen Shades, I don't know, some makeup. And see if the now she can make it also on the Oakland Bees.
Yeah.
But wait,
to specify on the Glendalina thing, I'm not saying Glenn looks like a girl. It would be more like a tranny.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, dude.
Because at first I thought I just had a beautiful androgynous look about me, but no, actually, you're the most likely to be a tranny. I just wanted to classify. Thank you. It's the hair, dude. Whenever I go on Marcus Johnson's like live stream show on like Friday, everyone's just like, "Dude, what the fuck is your deal, dude?"
Nah, but you're more, exactly. Well, you're more likely to be MTF just because you're, because you're bigger and taller than me. And so like classically we're pretty close. You're like, you're not like way bigger than me, but
you're 5'2". No, no.
But I'm just saying, of course, like the FTM's always like some like, whoa, I'm like looking up to you right now, dude. You know,
it's gotta be tough being a podcaster. And then like you run into somebody that like listens and they're like, that guy's 5'2". Like I thought that guy was fucking massive.
Well, that's what I hate to say. And I do not hate it. I love me some short kings, dude. But the self immolation guy, dude. He was short, dude. He was fucking every photo. He was like fucking a foot lower than anyone. Maybe
Can you imagine going to like Lowe's and be like, "Can you reach that gas can for me?" sir, did you need assistance? No, I could probably get it. Yeah. So the women's sports. I have seen this video. I didn't download it to play on here, but there's a woman, and I think they. So I don't I don't know if they said it was 85 miles an hour. That's false, because women cannot throw 85 miles an hour. It's just, it's not, they can't dunk either. Like, it's just, it's the thing. And, but she actually was throwing the ball well. So I'm not trying to hate, like, it looked good. It was a solid 74, 76. She was sitting there. Okay. Great control. Looked
any
good.
Any movement? Late movement?
No. I'm fucking sending that shit 450, dude. But like, with respect.
Yeah.
And
was it a slurve, dude? What was it? A fucking slurve?
I'll do the custom MLB The Show bat flip where I like light a campfire on the ground and then round the base. It's like, and that's the funny thing. But I thought the league, I was like, that's probably a pretty cool venture. Like a woman's like playing baseball. Like that's a pretty cool like league. Like it's because it's a little more familiar and stuff. And women's sports are big. She was not throwing 85. And you know how you know that is because the person who posted that clip said like, and just as I thought, the men are in there correcting the velocity. It's like,
oh God.
Yep. I was like, yeah, because it's wrong. Like it's
just, the most important part of the fucking tweet.
And all you had to say was she was just pumping. She had great control. Like you didn't have to say she's like throwing gas, like with fire emojis. Like that's bait. Like,
Was she the one? Because
you sent me the clip. I remember that was the first time I saw it. You sent it to me.
Was that me? Okay. I was wondering, is that the same? Because there was someone being hyped up. Some pitcher being hyped up, but then she had like an 11 ERA.
Yeah.
And it was just like in like single A ball or something, or like double A. And it's like, okay, she's not going to the, because everyone's like, she's going to the majors. And it's like, well, she's getting rocked in like minor league ball. It's like, come on, dude. What's happening?
She's not. Yeah. She's not. And I think that's like Oakland B's. I thought it was like an independent league, like whatever. But I think like it's co-ed. I think guys can come play there. And like, that's, look.
Is it Oakland?
I don't know. I've never heard of that team before, so I would be very shocked if it was not like Oakland, like the Pennsylvania, or where's that? What's that other one? Is like
the Michigan, like, or
yeah,
Minnesota.
Michigan. Yeah, the one that was in the tournament. Yeah. And but yeah, women's sports is interesting right now because that is a microcosm of why it cannot be a successful mainstream as men's sports, because they don't allow they feel that there's this activism that needs to happen rather than pure barbarism. That actually what sports fandom is, what generates when people, whenever somebody like Patrick Mahomes or like a massive athlete signs a big contract, people will like get on their high horse and go, there is no way he's worth that kind of money. There are schools, there are children, there are people dying and stuff. It's like, yeah, but I don't want to watch those children dying. I don't want to see them on TV.
Yeah. And they take the criticism. Exactly. They take the criticism of, they don't understand. That's what sports is talking shit to famous rich people
irrationally,
and Colin Cowherd and Mike Florio, and be like, you're a fucking loser. Dude. You know, like,
yeah, what is she on her period? Yeah. She missed a fucking layup.
Huh? Exactly.
Yeah.
Google. They don't, they think that we're like uniquely mean to these. It's like, no, this is what it is. Dude.
No, if you want. So like the big thing that came out was Caitlin Clark, who's a baller. Like I want to say
the basketball, right?
The Iowa girl, she's going to get drafted in the WNBA and make like $80,000 a year. Which like is not much, like truly, if you're going to be the best of athlete at a certain sport. But like, how much, guys, how much do you think men's volleyball players make?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, it's not because they're not good at the sport. It's because no one wants to watch it.
Yeah.
Because you're not allowed to criticize it. And I could say right now, you could be like, Caitlin Clark, man, she needs to stop shooting those fucking threes. She's getting too soft. There's going to be a woman that just goes like, oh, as a man, you just feel so comfortable saying that. It's like, yes. And she needs me to be this rabid and this irrational and crazy. Yep. Sports is chaos. Sports is gladiator sport with fans that watch. And it's where we take our bad days out from work. We take them out on the TV. I have irrational hatred towards Rashee Rice for the Chiefs. And I'm like, I fuck Rashee Rice, you fucking bitch, when he drops a ball. Because 100%. Otherwise, if I didn't care, I wouldn't be watching that and generating the ratings and all these things. But
and the ad revenue and everything.
Revenue. Again, there are men's sports that don't make any money because no one cares.
Yep. Racquetball.
So the worst thing is when these athletes, they break the fourth wall themselves and reply to everything. And they're like, yeah, let's see you do it. It's like, I can't.
I can't
do it.
Yeah.
You will win every time. Guess where I get to win is I got off from my shitty job on the day and I watched you go 15 for 31 with three interceptions, and I called you a fag is what happened. That's what happened. I won that thing. You win because you get the money, and you're supposed to learn your job is to ignore me. And that's not going to happen with women's sports. So when they say there's like this wealth disparity in women's sports, it's like, no. All right, I'm down. put a caddy. The reason women's basketball is so popping right now is because there's a caddy element between Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, all these women and all that stuff. It's very Real Housewives-y, and I don't mean to demean the actual product that's on the court.
Pump up the Draymond Green like drama,
exactly. You know? NBA people watch NBA for the drama. Like truly, it's not like it's
they,
not
NBA like, saw the Draymond Green drama, and then they have him like hosting shows and shit now for them. You know, it's like, dude, it's
Dennis
crazy.
Rodman. There's always been these pariahs in sports. That's why people tune in. That's why the average fan that goes to the bar, a woman, gets into the game. They start cussing at Draymond Green. It's the first thing they notice. Yep. Somebody who doesn't watch the game will watch and go like, fuck that guy. But they're immediately tuned in. And it's like, can you do that? Can you do that in sports? I just saw this like mic'd up WNBA.
Yeah.
And they were just like, they were talking about privilege and stuff. They're like, they're like Paige Beckers. Like, I love her because she recognizes her privilege and stuff like that. And she knows she's got here and all that stuff. I'm like, this sport's doomed.
It's
you're
horrible.
Dooming the sport. And I'm like, that's why it's a non fucking factor.
You know what I love though? I love my favorite. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, finish.
No, I'm doing this like this circular rant. I mean, I've talked about this all the fucking time. It's just like you have to allow an insane male fan because they won't. Women could actually prop the WNBA up themselves. That is just a bridge too far. If whatever percentage of the population of women are out there actually went there, bought the jerseys, put the pom-poms on, I hope everybody has a good time, asses are in the seats, and they want to watch good drama and stuff, that would be the case. But they want men to do it.
You had the best, the Jamele, that you literally didn't...
Jamele Hill,
You were literally... You haven't tweeted about this person in 10 years.
This guy was on, and that's the thing. Jamele Hill, she's kind of like she was like the basically the Kaepernick journalist, essentially. Like, she was the one who took the CNN to ESPN basically. Like, she was able to hover that line of like Black Lives Matter, but also I know like the tight ends role in a West Coast offense, but don't ask me to explain it because that's misogynist. But anyways, she would do this, and you could see her right now, her timeline is all defending women's sports, and she was talking about how their women's sports don't make enough money because they're not marketing the women. And right now, the only time I see dudes getting pumped about WNBA is because they found out a couple of the chicks are good looking, and like, that's not gonna last. I'll tell you that right now, because you get the sexualizing of it, which I'm sure nobody does that for men's sports, right? Nobody did that. Jimmy Garoppolo had a job last year because he was good looking. There's all these, like, they don't allow for this like actual primal thing to happen, which is the best part about sports. And what Jemele Hill would do is she would say, Asia Wilson is a basketball player, and she's been in the league since 2014. She wrote a best-selling novel. That was her selling card, which that's what I think of when I buy Nikes. Do you guys have Langston Hughes Nikes?
Do you have that Daryl Strawberry book he wrote?
Yeah. I want these James Baldwin shoes. Like, do you guys have that? Do you guys have that? Because I'm sure Asia Wilson has a really cool best-selling novel that everyone can recite passages from, that everybody thinks are cool. But she was using that as the talking point. She goes, but why? And so she wanted to put the blame on men for this. And somebody said, I goes, it's a very easy search, but I searched your tweets, name searched you with Asia Wilson. And from 2014 to 2024, you've tweeted about her exactly zero times.
Yeah.
So like, you are literally the person that could make Asia Wilson a star. You could say like, you could turn your timeline into Asia Wilson.
Like highlights and shit. Which are probably good.
Bro, make a Steely Dan edit cover. I solved it for you. Asia. Asia. I solved it for you. I'm not going to do it because I don't care. I watch men's sports and I don't think women's sports are entertaining. And I'm never going to.
And we couldn't win. Even if we got into it, we'd be doing it the wrong way. We'd be betting on it too much, all this stuff. But my whole thing, and you know, not my whole thing. I mean, I just thought of this during this episode. You guys call me soft. I'm down to do a luxury tax on the highest paid NBA dudes and just make sure they get $250K a year. That's fair, dude. Yeah, it's already subsidized.
What do you
mean? What do you mean? Just throw them a little extra. 80K is low, dude. Just throw them. Just make sure they hit 200.
Oh.
I'm down to socialize it.
But the league is literally not making money. Like,
I'm down to throw. Dude, it's like
they do.
It's like when
they do.
It's like when you're, you know, like like the husband's makes 490K a year and the wife loses like 10K a month on some shitty shoe store in downtown or whatever. You know, it's like that, you know.
Well, the NBA does subsidize the WNBA. It's the only reason it's 100%, on TV. Their TV deal, they get the TV deal, which is how the NBA makes money. It's all TV deals. Yeah. So like that's how the NBA really makes their money. And plus like now the DraftKings and all that.
That's stuff. How college football is able to make money.
Right. It's all TV deals. Yeah. ESPN is for 5 years is going to show, you know, 3 nights a week at the NBA marquee game, but there's always like a WNBA one that's tossed in there. So it's like, honestly, these women would be paying to play if it wasn't for that. So it's just like, look, I'm sorry. Like you just like learn to fucking code, I guess. I don't know. I guess that's my speech, but I don't know. I just, it makes me mad. Everyone knows I'm a little sports spurg person. So like when that happens, I'm like, no, the answer it's literally, this is capitalism. Like that's the thing. Like you can solve this. You can solve it, but you need me to solve it, which is like one of these things. It's like picking where we're going to fucking dinner. It's like, ultimately I have to pick the fucking place. But it's like, you clearly have an idea in mind of what you want. Like, it's just like, exactly.
You know what I'm thinking of too? Like I've joked a lot about the Portland Timbers, you know, soccer team up here, right?
Portland Timbers, dude.
Yeah. But it's like, dude, it's easy to clown on them. But honestly, I'm not like a big like soccer hater. That's always been kind of cringe to me. You know, I get it's not for everyone. I'm not into it. It's boring and shit, you know, but it's like, you know, people are into it and it's a major sport. But the thing is like, yo, Portland Timbers, people will pack the house to go to these games. And it's like, yo, that's cool. You created the culture. You're making money for this team. That's tight. You know, everyone will watch them and stuff. So it's like, you did it. You guys did it. You know, it's like you showed up, you know,
the most solvable problem ever.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, I'll look at the games. I'll be like, damn, these stands are actually full. This is crazy. Like on TV, I'm like, this is actually kind of sick. It makes you want to get into it, you know. I'm like, yo, maybe I should watch a game or something, you know.
Exactly.
And then you're like, dude, United Football League, and it's like at Rice Stadium with like 300 people. Yeah. Dude, it's like
nobody is talking about those guys not making enough money. It's like, but because it's a joke, you watch it, you're like, it's a joke, it's not football. No. So it's not the football that I want to watch. And it's all this thing is to like, how can we make the average fucking male feel guilty after a day of feeling guilty about not having the best job? How can we go home and yell at him to go watch something? Sir, your job is not over here. You need to watch WNBA tonight. Like, you know, I don't know. It bothered the hell out of me.
That's what Ryan does willingly.
Dude, Ryan is the GOAT. Yeah. Ryan came on the back wall back in the day, dude. And like when we first started it, and he tried to sell us WNBA, and it didn't work. But I love Ryan. and look, guess what? Yeah. Ryan, I feel like Ryan's post WNBA right now, dude. He's kind of just like, all right, now that everybody wants to make this like a thing, I kind of liked it as my own niche thing. It was the only thing Minnesota won a fucking title at. So beside the point.
I can't hate on Minnesota, dude.
I love Minnesota. You know,
frustrated 13-year-old Oakland A's losing to fucking Minnesota year in the divisional series.
Doug Minkiewicz, Johan Santana, dude.
Johan Santana.
Sure, don't mess with fucking Johan. But anyways, last thing I wanted to talk about today. I've been off Bluetooth headphones for a while, probably the last couple of weeks because I lost.
Do you feel better? I need to do that.
Dude. Yes. Night and day.
Really?
It is. So this could no look at people. There's these smirking people that could be doing this placebo thing. I'm not ruling that out because I think placebo is real in a sense. Yeah. But first off, it's a plantation, dude. It's slave labor because at my work, I got to go under the shirt like a fucking high school kid. But then you try to use your phone and you yank them out of your ears. It sucks. It is a plight, dude. It is a plight. It's not great. So that part, but I found these really good ones on Amazon. They're like 20 something bucks. You can actually turn the volume up on them. Like they have some good wired headphones now. Like they're still the bros are still, the demand is still out there. We're not WNBA people asking for fucking people to do the work for us. Like we found our own wired headphones. So I get them plugged in like that. That's cool. But for a while, I remember when I listen to stuff all day at work. Like I constantly have something going. So I was having like AirPods in my ear all day, like just baking my shit, dude.
I've been addicted now, dude.
It's funny because it's like But I, at the end of the day, I would always have a slight headache. Now I work in the sun. Yeah. I don't always get the water I need. Like, there's all these things I could eat. Well, that headache's not here anymore.
Okay, and you sold me on it. Because I swear, because I never get headaches. And sometimes when I stand up too fast now, I'll just get that little, you know, in the back. And I'll have like these weird dreams and shit. And I'm like, I never have bad dreams.
No, we're so disrupting something, dude. We're disrupting something with that. And it feels, and like, I'm sorry, like when you pair up the headphones and it goes doom like that, the AirPods, the minute it happens, I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah,
Braddock
is right, like, dude. Braddock is never fade Braddock, dude.
Exactly. Lafredo's a wired headphone guy. Like, for this show, I always go wired.
But the only thing is like, unless you download it and airplane mode it, you're either radiating your junk or your brain. Yeah, because you got to carry it around. Dude, it sucks. Why can't we just have normal shit? Or here's an idea. Why can't we study some biorhythms and create a harmonious Bluetooth that actually makes you feel better rather than worse? Maybe just throwing that out there into the eco.
The Flint Dibble of Bluetooth technology is going to come in and be like, we have been, we're underfunded. and then he gets all mad, you know, the Flint Dibble comes in and then tries to censor you for being racist for wanting wired headphones or something. And it's like, Black people, they don't fit in their ears correctly, and that's racist to say that. Like, just for me, it just feels wrong, like having like Bluetooth. And I agree. Like, could we find an ethical way to do it? I think it is. I think the technology itself is not satanic, but we're not advanced enough to know what to do. We take shortcuts. Anytime you take a shortcut, bypassing, you know, actual progress, you're always going to create carcinogenic. I
just want to Google right now what the top hits are, the fake top hits are. Do Bluetooth. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's my thing. What do you think of this? Do you think that cancer and, you know, cancer itself, do you think it's a punishment for taking a shortcut? The disease itself? Roundup, right? All these things, like, you know, Roundup, Bluetooth, like just all these, like, you know, hazardous waste, all these things that you find out, you know, Paraquat, all these things that cause all these fucked up things. They are shortcuts in a sense. And I do feel like there is this cosmic thing. It's like, look, we're not giving it to people, cosmically, we're not like, oh, you're going to get cancer. It's like, no, this is, this disease exists because you're supposed to step back and look and be like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
But we don't.
Yeah.
And if we do, we just do Susan G. Komen march all day, dude. And feed people on, tell people they need to ingest like 55 cupcakes because they would need their strength while they have cancer and stuff. And it's like, I always wonder, I like, look, maybe that's not the case, but I feel like anytime we take a shortcut, it's just cancer.
It says here, I agree, or plastic.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Plastic is a huge shortcut. Uh-huh. It says here within the 2.4 gigahertz frequency range, which is also shared by various devices like Wi-Fi routers.
And that's McCusker. That's McCusker's thing, right? The 2.4. He's a hater of 2.4.
Yeah. And microwaves.
We're microwaving our brain, dude. We've already red pilled the microwave. I mean, that's people still come back to like hit me up. They're like, that's still one of your guys', but and we have that's a Benny Brad production.
That was I'm not trying to steal valor at all from that episode, but that was, man, that was my intuition when I was five. I was like, I'm not microwaving my shit.
This Ben is shot his own microwave. The thing. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like so people will always go, can you prove it? I'm like, just fucking put them on, dude. Like, just put them on. And then like, I got back on wired. And like I said, there's little, the trials and tribulations of that are just these little, like, almost like, fuck, I keep yanking. They keep yanking out of my ears. They don't stop. The podcast doesn't stop when I take it out of my ear for a second. Yeah. Like, there's all these like random things, but I'm like, guess what? I survived when this was my technology.
Yeah.
I survived. In fact, I thrived.
Yeah.
And I
thrived. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like, I would be really irritable after a day of AirPods.
Yeah.
I would get really just like, I don't want to hear anything. Almost like Saving Private Ryan, like humming in the head, like after shrapnel, you know, after a bomb goes off. Like, I just was like, it feels like it drained me or something like that. It felt like the connection. And I will say this, I think they kill your phone faster too, like battery wise. I've been on the wired ones all day and it's just been like easy money. So,
I know I always got to recharge. Yeah.
something to think about, something to think about. But absolutely. Lastly, guys, if you guys are on our Substack feed again, rarecandy.substack.com, you do not have to listen on Substack. Like that, I actually implore, I encourage you not to. Like, it's, that's not the way this is supposed to be enjoyed. What if you're, it's so many people are like, I appreciate when people visit and like the post on Substack, but I'm like, I hope you're not listening on there. So like, look, for anyone who doesn't know, we charge $5 a month, but you get an episode a week. It's, you get, you, it's as often as the free feed updates, but that's where Gain of Fiction is, the Coast to Coast series and all that stuff. And our numbers have been going up there, and it's been wonderful. But when you sign up, right? And it's just like Patreon. It's the same concept. The only reason we do Substack is because there's writing involved. We wanted to make it like an immersive media experience. Yeah. But all you have to do is when you subscribe, go to the first episode and that you see an episode, and it'll say play in here. And you, all you have to do is click on like the Apple Podcast logo, Spotify, wherever it is. They're all there on the browser, in the browser, and it will automatically populate the feed for you. And it will just go around, and it'll take you. And then you have both Rare Candy feeds there. And that way you don't have to keep going to Substack or download the Substack app or anything like that. You just sign up on Substack, and then you immediately can transfer that RSS feed over. It's not hard to do. There's literal icons of it through the browser. That's, people are like, it's so hard to do. I'm like, well, you guys find like weird ways to make AI art of me like being gay. So like, I don't know. I feel like this is easier. I feel like this is easier. Yeah. That's in our Discord. If you want to invite to our Discord, just hit me up. Yeah. And we, but can't say we'll let
that was a weird day.
Yeah, I can't say I'll let everybody in. No, and I love the guy that did that.
No, for sure.
He's great. Shout out to the boy. Yeah, but it was just funny. It was just funny to wake up to. I was like, that's all right. Here we are. You know, like,
whoa,
like Red Scare.
So they chose you and not me. I'm telling you, I was like,
I feel like I'm the most gender critical one. Maybe that's how it works.
I was, I was like, oh yay, they didn't pick me. I was like one of those, like,
it's like, but it's always sunny. It's like, it's always sunny when Mac finds out his old teacher was a molester and he starts showing up in cut off shorts, like trying to entice him. Like, why didn't you molest me?
Yeah,
you know,
100%. Yeah,
exactly. So yeah, on Substack, all you gotta do is like, you get signed up. They're like, cool, you became a subscriber. Thank you. Go to the first episode you want to listen to on the browser, rarecandy.substack.com. If you got access to it, all you got to do, just go there. And there's a new, they just developed the Spotify feed, which is really nice.
Yeah.
So I got that synced up. I've tested it out on my own. It does work. Right. So if you, all you got to do, it'll take you there. It gives you the custom RSS feed. It's just like Patreon, because I use Patreon for the podcasts I listen to. It's the same process. Yeah. So, and again, if that's stopping you from signing up, you're like, I don't want to do Substack. It's like, you only have to do that for like 20 minutes. And then you never have to look at Substack again. Yeah. So you can, it'll just, it, we update that thing religiously. There's 30, about to be 31 Gain of Fiction episodes. It's almost, we're almost, it's almost older than us episode wise. And then so Friends of Eddie Coyle's coming this week. That's a great one with Max Thrax. He's an author of God is a Killer, which we talk about his book as well, which is a great read. Highly recommend everybody go get God is a Killer. Guess what? He came out with the alpha edition of God is a Killer, which is amazing. It has a couple of short stories attached at the end of it. And I'm like, you know, the version I had to buy. So I got that one. That's at Apocalypse Confidential, Hopefully you guys just go to that. Just Google Apocalypse Confidential. I can't remember the exact URL. There's all sorts of stuff. We're going to have more contributors and more people from there on there. We'd love supporting the independent stuff. And, but yeah, just anyways, if you're hesitant about the premium feed, if that's your reason, that reason is no longer an excuse. Yeah. And so we got some real fun stuff coming up on Gain of Fiction. We got your PsyOps series
debut
coming
in the next month. Yeah.
Yep. Ecology of Souls by Joshua Cutchin. Yeah. And we're going to be speaking to Joshua Cutchin, I believe, if that, hopefully that goes through. But we, if it's souls, I feel like we have to manifest it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it's going to happen. If not, we're going to do a great episode without it either way. So, but then, Friends of Eddie Coyle this week on Gain Fiction, great Boston crime novel by George V. Higgins, plus the classic Peter Yates movie starring Robert Mitchum. And then, Philip K. Dick's Valis. That's going to be an incredible episode. Very, very excited for that. That's going to be next up. And then, Anthony Burgess novel, A Clockwork Orange, as well as the Stanley Kubrick movie of the same name.
Yeah.
And then after that, I got to reconvene the schedule, but we have a lot of fun stuff coming this summer. Gain of Fiction's going on the road too, which is going to be fun. We're going on two podcasts. I won't name those just yet. Those are the, but they're the boys. Going to be taking the Robin Cook's Chromosome 6. That's for the Heavy Board podcast. I don't mind saying that because he, you know, that's the boy, Andrew. He was on Gain of Fiction twice, I believe. And then we are going to another podcast, a podcast that you guys should know well, podcast we've been on a couple times already, to do Michael Crichton's Rising Sun. So taking the Crichton pill on the road is going to be quite fun.
That's huge. That's huge. We that's something we manifested.
Hit me up if you got a show and like you want to do a Crichton, I have to cover his whole catalog, so it doesn't all have to be on Gain of Fiction. For me, spreading the pill everywhere, it helps. Yeah, exactly. So